Good morning.
Good morning.
Has joined.
So far.
L'shem Yehud Kudsha Brichu Ishkin Tebit Hilu Urchimu Uthilu Uthilu Urchimu Leachta L'shem Yud He Bavavhe The Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasov Torah Mitzvah Vayino Amadunai Elohino Alena Maasei Yadena Funanei Alena Maasei Yadena Funanehu. Today we will be studying the fifth aliyah of the double portion of Vayechel Pekudei. It begins at Exodus chapter 39, verse 2, and completes at verse 21. This is a total of 20 verses. The number 20 connects to the 10 sefirot of direct light and the 10 sefirot of returning light. It also represents connects to the 20 gerar that make up the shekel, the silver shekel of the holy shekel of the temple. Verse 2.
Vayaser ha'efod Zahav tekelet v'argaman v'tola'at Shani v'shesh mash tazar v'ayirahu et pachei ha'zahav v'kitzetz petilim l'asot v'toch ha'tekelet u'chon ha'argaman Uchon tola'at ha'shani u'toch ha'shesh me'asei ha'shev.
Ketefot ha'sulo tovrod al shenei ketzotav u'bar. It's interesting to note that Kitzotav is written with three vavs, including the final vav, as opposed to the way it's pronounced.
Wehash Weheshev Afuka Fudato Asher Alav Mimenu Yema'asehu Zahav tichelet v'yargaman v'tola'at shani v'sheif mashtar k'asher tziwa Adonai yohei wahei Adanu yo yo ahedawanu hei yo et Moshe, Vayastu et Vavnei Hashoham, Musabot Mishpitzot, Zahavi, Utahot, Pituchei Cholahotam, Al Shemot B'nei Yisrael, Vayasem Otam, Al Kitvot, Haifod, Avnei Zikaron, Livnei Yisrael, Ka'asher Tziwa Adonai, Yohe Wahe, Adanu Yo, Yohe Dawanu Heyo, Et Moshe Vayas, Et Hachshen, Maase Hoshev, Maase, Ephod Zahav, Tichelet, the Argaman, Betolat, Shani Washesh, Mashzar, Ravua Haya, Kafu Asu et Hachshen, Zerad Arko, Zeret Rachbo, Kafu, Vayemalu, Bo Arba'a, Ture Avin, Tur Odam, Oded, Odem, Ida Uvareket, Hatur Haechad, Vehatur Hasheni, Nofech, Sapir Veyachalom, Behatur Ashlishi Leshet, Leshem Shevo Veyachlama, Behatur Harvi, Tarshish Shoham, Vayashpe Musabot, Mishpitzot, Zahav b'miluotam, v'ha'avanim al shemot b'nei Yisrael, einashetem esrei al shemotam, pituche kotam ish al shemo, lishne masar she'avet v'ya'asu, Al Hatachshen Shar Shemrot Gavlut Maase Avot Zahav Tahor Vayasu Shete Mishpachot Zot Zahav Shte Zabot Zahav Vayitnu Et Shete Atabaot al shene kitzot Kachshen vayitnu shete havotot Hazahav al shete hatabaot al kitzot Kachshen v'et shete kitzot shete havotot Avotot Natnu al shate Amishpitzot Vaitnum al katvot Haifod el mulpanav Vayasu shate
Sabot Has joined
Zahavayashimu al shene kitzot Hachshen al sefato asher el iver haifod baita vaya asu shete tabot zahav aitnum al shete pitpot haifod milpata Mimul manav leumat mach
Cheshev Ha'efod. La'irk Kesu Ed Ha'choshen Mitabeotav El Tabeot Ha'efod Bichtil Ha'tekelet Lehiyet Lihiyot al cheshev ha'efod velo yizach ha'choshen me'al ha'efod ka'asher tziwa Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yohe dawanu heyo et Moshe. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. The English translation, chapter 39, verse 2. And he made the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and crimson wool, and twisted fine linen. They hammered out the sheets of gold and cut threads from them to work the gold into the blue wool, into the purple wool, into the crimson wool, and into the fine linen, the work of a master weaver. They made connecting shoulder straps for it at both its ends. It was entirely connected. And its decorative band, which is above it, emanated from it of the same work, gold, blue, purple, and crimson wool, and twisted fine linen, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And they prepared the Shoham stones, enclosed in gold settings, engraved similar to the engravings of a seal, with the names of the sons of Israel. And he put them upon the shoulder straps of the ephod as stones of remembrance for the sons of Israel, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He made the choshen, the work of a master weaver, like the work of the ephod, of gold, blue, purple, and crimson wool and twisted fine linen. It was square. They made the choshen, doubled its length on one span and its width one span, doubled. And they filled with into it four rows of stones, one row, Odem, Pitda, and Barachet, the one row, and the second row, Nofech, Sapir, and Yahalom, and the third row, Leshem, Shibo, and Achlama, and the fourth row, Tarshish, Shoham, and Yashveh, enclosed in gold settings in their fillings. And the stones were for the names of the sons of Israel, 12, corresponding to their names. The engravings of a seal, every one according to his name, for the 12 tribes. For the choshen, they made chains at the edge of cable work of pure gold. They made two golden settings and two golden rings, and they placed the two rings on the end, two ends of the choshen. And they placed the two golden cables on the two rings at the ends of the choshen. And the two ends of the two cables they placed upon the two settings, and they placed them upon the shoulder straps of the ephod on its front part. And they made two golden rings and placed them on the two ends of the choshen, on its edge that faced the inner side of the ephod. And they made two golden rings and placed them on the two shoulder straps of the ephod from below toward its front, adjacent to its seam above the band of the ephod. And they fastened the choshen by its rings to the rings of the ephod with a cord of tehelet wool so that it could be upon the band of the ephod so that the choshen would not move off the ephod, as the Lord had commanded Moses. There are 20 verses. The 20 represents a connection to the 10 sephirot of direct light and the 10 sephirot of the returning light. And the overall sense and essence of this reading is exactly that. It's connecting to direct light and returning light in the frame of the clothing of the high priest. Does anyone have any questions? We are continuing to read and study the Perek Shirah. We are at the bottom of the page 13, in the last two paragraphs on that page. Actually, we read the second to the last paragraph on that page, the mouse, yesterday. And the third to the last paragraph we read the day before, and that deals with the third deals with the cat, and the second comes the mouse, and this last paragraph is an interesting one, as you will see. Ukshemagio Omer Hahatu Ardof Oyevai Vyask Si Iskim Willo Ashuvat Kalotam. This verse is from Psalms. And when the cat catches it, the cat says, I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them, and I did not return until they were destroyed. The order of this, starting with the cat, then the mouse, and then this statement, and when the cat catches it. Now, if you look back to see what did the cat say, and I'll read it in English for you. If you rise up like a vulture and place your nest among the stars, from there I shall bring you down, says Hashem. So the cat, as we discussed, is talking about being among the stars, about being looking upward and expanding your consciousness, indicating that we should go to the stars. Then you have the mouse saying, I exalt Hashem. The mouse is saying, I'm praising Hashem because he has impoverished me, because he has given me the negativity. On the one hand, the cat is looking up, expanding his consciousness to include the universe outside of the physical earth. The mouse is expressing whatever God plans for me, I accept and I praise God. Now you have the cat coming and saying, I've caught my enemy, being the mouse that he plays with, that he eats, actually. The cat is saying that even though I've looked up to the stars, I deal with the enemies that are on the earth. I deal with the physicality as well. But I do it in praising Hashem for allowing me to defeat my enemy. But people only have one enemy. Humans only have one enemy, and that's the Satan. And his greatest tool is to hide himself. so that people don't realize that they are fighting Satan, and that the Satan is the evil inclination within them. We're going to page 14. Ha'akbar Omer Weata Tzadik Al Kol Haba Alai Ki Emet Asita Wa Ani Chayer Shatoi. And the mouse says, you are just for all that comes upon me. For you have acted
has joined.
And I have been wicked. And again, you have the mouse speaking after the cat has destroyed it. And it says, I accept the decree. Whatever Hashem has decreed is the best thing for me. This process of the cat looking out and expanding its consciousness to include the stars, to include everything in heavens. These are the thoughts of a human being capable of reaching the stars, capable of making it an internal journey, a meditative journey to see these different dimensions that are represented by the phrases and the verses that this cat is saying. And then the mouse is still there in the physical world and saying, I praise God for the negativity that I have to endure. Then the cat says, I have to be in the physical world as well. I have to defeat my enemy, and I praise God that he allows me to defeat my enemy, which is Satan from the human being. And then the mouse says, whatever has happened, that is what Hashem has decreed, and his decree is accepted by me, and I still praise Hashem. We have a few minutes. I don't want to start chapter 6, which begins on the next paragraph of page 14. So, if within these few minutes, does anybody have any questions? And while you're unmuting yourself, I'll remind you that we have the three classes today. Our 11 o'clock class is the Sefer Yetzirah. Our 4:30 class is a deeper Zohar class. And our 7 o'clock class is a regular Zohar class.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Malka.
So we're dealing with the animals of creation. With that said, each animal, does that represent a reincarnation of our soul into the animal kingdom and plant kingdom and so forth and so on? So is that like where we are, if we get reincarnated into animal kingdoms, and maybe we all will, I don't know, some want, some will, is that like where we were when we departed this physical world from our elevation, from an elevation standpoint? I guess I'm looking for the metaphor of all the animals that we're studying.
The answer is, yes, we have all been reincarnated as animals, because after the flood, where the generation of the flood all of their good deeds was transferred to Noah and his three sons. And all of their negative deeds were cleansed through the process of being reincarnated into the animals or the rocks or the plants that was their tikkun based on their actions during the generation of the flood, during that lifetime. So we have all been there. Now, these animals that we are studying, we're asking basically, why do they say the verses that they say? These animals have traits, character traits. They don't have free choice, so they are acting the way they're created. And for them to say these verses from the Torah, there is opinions that these animals saying these verses do represent the reincarnations of human beings. Another interpretation is that the animals with these traits represents humans acting in this way. That's okay. The purpose of the study. Go ahead, Malcolm.
As being reincarnated from animals into human beings, is there a process to identify each human being to the animal that they reincarnated in out of into human beings? Is there a biblical teaching or a study where you could maybe look at some of your traits as going back as being an animal into a human being? I mean, is that something from the tribe standpoint? From each tribe had a different animal attached to it or animals? You know, you have the lion, you have
the ox.
The ox, so forth and so on, six of them, right? And do you elevate from a mouse up to a cat to a dog to a, you know, ox to a donkey? That sort of thing. Is there elevation in the animal kingdom as well, where you elevate to a higher level in the animal kingdom?
I've not read that's true, but it's quite clear that it is true, because we learn in one of our series of classes associated with eating that the sparks from what's eaten is going into the soul of the thing that is eating. If it's a human eating a kosher animal, remember, we did not eat animals. We had no permission to eat animals prior to the flood. There were people who did eat animals, and so they suffered the consequences. But the discussion is, there are sparks of life in every living thing. And as those things are eaten by other animals, those animals eat grass if they're herbivores, they are elevating the sparks of light from the thing they're eating. And those sparks of light are in the animal being elevated. So if a cat is eating a mouse, the spark of light from that mouse is going into the cat. And there's a specific Torah teaching that there's a sequence of 4 months, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, which is the 4 months where the plants can be elevated to the animals. And then there are 4 months, the next 4 months, where the animals can be elevated to the human.
Okay.
And the next 4 months where the inanimate, the rocks and streams and so forth, can be elevated to the plants. So there is a Torah teaching about that process. And yes, if that spark of light from the mouse has elevated to the cat, when the cat passes, that spark is being elevated in its way. Now, in certain areas of the world, cats are eaten by humans. So yeah. You can see the process.
So there's always reincarnation going on every second of the day because animals pass away.
Correct.
And so this process never stops. The reincarnation never stops.
Until the spark has reached the human level, and that human level elevates the spark through its mitzvot. When you do a mitzvot, any spark that you've absorbed that has become part of you can elevate in the appropriate time. If the animal has achieved its tikkun, the human aspect of the animal has achieved its tikkun, then it may be elevated even in that night when the soul goes upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I haven't read specifically those kinds of halachot or laws or understandings, but it's obvious from a perspective that all of this is going on continually, but there are only certain times. So if, let's say, you eat something, the plant can elevate to the animal in the 4 months of Nisan to Tammuz. Okay, well, if that spark has, then during those months, that animal is eaten by a human being, then that spark is now in the human level, but it cannot elevate to the next level until a different set of the 4 months.
Right. It's just like the soul stays engaged on for a year.
Right.
So it's the same principle.
Same principle, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And you need to understand that that's my opinion, because I haven't read from a teacher, from the writings of a teacher, or from, you know, a teacher who verbally taught it to me.
Right. Okay.
Hello.
Yes, Hannah.
I think besides reincarnation, we need to remember, too, that these animals that we encounter from time to time carry a message. I remember the time that a person was coming into my house, and when she opened the door, I thought it was a lizard that came in at the same time. But by the time it went around the room, and when I saw it going down the hall, I saw it was a mouse. And looking up the word mouse in Hebrew and, you know, trying to get the little animal out, I mean, there was a message there. And it was a very important spiritual message. And then for the last 3 years, we've had an encounter with birds trying to build a nest under the alcove of our front porch. And finally, last year, I got the message, which was another powerful spiritual lesson, I guess I could say. And so I'm curious to see if they're going to show up again this year, because it's usually the month of March that this happened. So there's another standpoint of what the animals they carry a message for us from time to time.
Not only is the animal giving you a message, but it's also providing you with an opportunity, as you described the bird trying to set up a nest. What are they going to do with the nest? They're going to have eggs. And what is the mitzvah? To separate the mother from the egg so that you don't take it at the same moment as the mother is aware of it. That mitzvah has many different levels. One of it, which is that it has the effect of a long life. So by not allowing that bird to nest, you've missed the opportunity to separate, you know, shoo the mother away, mother bird away, and then take the egg. So,
well, I would have had no problem, except they made a mess. I mean, so much so, all over the front porch, and you know, so.
So is cleaning up a mess day after day for a number of months worth doing in order to get a long life?
I think the message was something different. So
I'm not saying that the message is different. I'm saying that there's a different ways of looking at things, different ways of understanding. Yes, it could be just as well. You got the message, and therefore there's also this other issue. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to explain to people that there are different ways of perceiving cause and effect.
Well, it would have been very, very unhealthy. I mean, it was poop everywhere. And they were going from household to household. And we feed them, and you know, in the backyard and everything. So, you know, it's an interesting take. Took three so far to come to the message, but I got it. And it was wonderful. It was one of the most wonderful teachings I've ever had that I studied on my own. And it also made a profound effect on me for a whole year. And still that message, you know. So I'm pleased.
Laura Fisher, are there any other questions? Everyone have a beautiful afternoon and evening. Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Shalom Gadol. Shalom.
Thank you.